Luke 16, you'll soon get the thought of what I'm about to head into, the message that we're going to try to share with you. And I want to share it as God would have me to share it. It's nothing that you don't already know, but just something I pray that God would help us to share in reality and the truth of it. And I know that my words may stutter and stammer and fall, but the Word of God will stand forever. I'd like to see the Word of God go directly to hearts and bring conviction to the unsaved, then stir the hearts of those who are saved that we may have a greater compassion in these days. Stand with me while we read the Word of God. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Means he had plenty, got along fine, seemed like in this world. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's bow our heads, please, and go to God in prayer. Ask God to help us here for a few moments. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in this service. Lord, you've stirred our hearts. You have certainly blessed us and helped us, God, to worship in this place here this morning, and we thank you for all the songs. I thank you for every thing that was said and every testimony given, every word of encouragement. And Father, I thank you today for the privilege to come. And now we come time for preaching. And Lord, I realize the fact that Satan will fight, the devil will fight this message. And I pray in Jesus' name and plead the blood. I ask you, God, to help us stand in the power of God and preach like you want us to preach. And I pray the Holy Spirit take it and speak to hearts. There are those here today that need to be saved, and I pray today they'd hear what God says here in his word. Then I pray for those of us that are saved that we might be stirred. Help us, God, have compassion, and I pray, help us really believe what you say in your word, and we'll thank you and praise you. What you do, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the victory in Jesus. Now, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus. I pray in this service, Lord, speak to hearts. Bring real conviction. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Embark upon, I pray that God would help us and that we would definitely hear what God has to say. And give us that we need here today. I don't believe, am I getting through on that now? No. Nothing. That's all right. That's all right. I knew something would happen. Amen. It's okay. I say amen. I picked up on that and good. Amen. We'll just take this off. Brother Tim, you step up here and get me that other microphone ready, please. Go ahead.
Turn with me in the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. I want you to see this. Place of torment, but I want you to hear it and hear it well. But the children, Matthew 8, 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out of outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness, there's a flame. You've never seen an eternal flame like hell. Outer darkness, where is the lake of fire? Somewhere, I believe it to be put out in the outer darkness of space somewhere. I don't know, but God does. God says it's going to be outer darkness. He also said it's going to be gnashing of teeth. They're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want you to turn with me in the book of Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. I'm talking about hell now. There, in verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now notice he said, depart from ye cursed, into everlasting fire. He wasn't talking to the devil. He wasn't talking to the devil's angels. He's talking to unsaved people. And he's saying, go to that place of everlasting fire. Somebody said, well, if it is a literal hell, it's just annihilation, just burn up, and that's all there is to it. That's not what God said. God said it's an everlasting fire. Look in verse 46 of that same chapter. And there shall go away, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. It's not just an everlasting fire, but the punishment is everlasting also. It doesn't just have burn for a few minutes and it's over. It's not just for an hour and then it's over. It's not purgatory for a little while and then you get out of it. It's an everlasting punishment. Preacher, do you really believe it's everlasting? That's what God said. If you don't believe it's everlasting punishment, you don't believe the word of God, I'd check up and see if I'm saved. Amen. I'm telling you what God said. I'm not making this up. It's not fairy book stuff, a storybook tale. This is what God said. Hell is a real place, and people that die without Christ. And I'm getting that crowd in a minute. I'm running ahead of myself. But I'm telling you, it's a real place. It's a place of torments, and it's an everlasting place of fire. It's no everlasting fire. It's everlasting punishment. And forever and forever and forever and forever. Have you ever burnt your finger or hand? Have you ever been burned anything bad at all? Some of you in this house maybe have scars on your body where you've been burned, where something happened to you and you got burned. And scars, I've seen some folk that have real bad scars because of burns. I've heard a man scream because of burns. I've heard a man that's caught in the house fire in the hospital and one in the hall. I'd be visiting somebody, hear him scream down to the other end of the hall, screaming for mercy and screaming for help and burning fire. Hey, listen, I want you to know that's real today. You say, preacher, you're trying to make it real. No, I'm trying to make it real. I'm trying to make it like God put it in his word. We hear about it. We go to church. We hear somebody say, well, people's not saved, going to hell. It goes in one ear, out the other, and we don't pay much attention to that. And we sit in an invitation sometime, and people are hanging in the balance. We don't pay much attention to the invitation. We talk about having revival, evangelists coming. Well, we're going to have church a few nights, and that's about what we think of. We'll go to church, and we'll get tired. But, hey, people are going to hell around us, and we need to have some compassion about it, and we need to care. Let's talk about the crowd that's going to hell. I want you to hear this. The crowd that's going to hell, and there is a crowd that's going to hell, and I pray that God will help us as we think about that crowd that's going to hell. There's a deceived crowd going to hell. Deceived crowd. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seemed right. Hey, some folk think because they joined the church, they made a profession of faith, they got ducked under the water, they did something, they think they're going to heaven because of that. Don't you know there's a way that seemeth right? Well, I quit drinking. I quit cussing. I turned over a new leaf. I started doing better. That sounds good. Maybe good in its rightful place, but that don't get you to heaven. Right. Hey, the deceived Christ. Hey, people sitting in this house today that are deceived, and you're on the road to hell and going to go to hell. You say, I'm saved, but you don't have any fruit of it. You don't really show it. It don't show up in your life. You don't have any concern about others getting saved. Hey, they the deceived crowd's going to hell. Hey, the religious crowd's going to hell. In Matthew chapter 7, not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord. That's in verse 21. Not everybody saith to me, Lord, Lord, going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many have come to me in that day and say, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? In thy name done many wonderful works. And he's going to profess to them, I depart from you, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. He didn't say, I once knew you, then I forgot about you. He said, I never knew you. There's a whole lot of things done today in the name of the Lord, they say, as God's not a thousand miles of. Amen, they miss it. And they try to say, well, if you'll do this and you'll do that, and you pay so much, you can pray somebody out of purgatory, or if you turn over your new leaf and get in this church and let me baptize, you'll be all right. And if you do this and you do that and the other, I tell you, ain't nothing going to help you but a good dose of old-time salvation by the grace of God. Get saved. Get born in the family of God. You can be saved. Amen. I'm glad today God saves sinners that'll come. But there's a religious crowd. Then there's, let me say, who else is going to hell? The crowd going to hell are those unbelievers. Just don't believe. In John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Who's that? The unbeliever, those that don't believe the Son. You believe Jesus, the Son of God? You believe he died on the cross of Calvary? You believe he rose from the dead? You believe he ascended back into heaven? You believe he's the right hand of God interceding for sinners to come? You believe that you've got to know him to be saved and go to heaven? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. You really believe that? Those that believe that will get saved. Those that don't believe that will go to hell, sure as the world. And so you need to hear that. I want to turn with me to the book of Revelation. I realize we're going a little long this morning, but you just hang with me. I don't want to quit too quick. I want God to have his way. Revelation chapter number 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, that's Antichrist and the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with them which he deceived that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. In verse number 10 of chapter 20. And the devil deceived them, was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and forever. Verse number 15. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And so every unsaved is cast in the lake of fire. Devil's cast in the lake of fire. The beast, the Antichrist, and his prophets cast in the lake of fire. This all happens at the end of the millennium after it's all over and said and done. And Jesus has the last word. And they're cast in the lake of fire to burn forever and forever. In Revelation 14:11 said, the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night. Day or night, no rest, no peace. How sad it is. How sad it is. I'm not much at reading poems, but I'm reading this to you. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music and song. No friendship of joy will be found in the throne. No children to brighten the long weary night. No love nor peace, no one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, pardon nor grace, no water. Oh God, what a terrible place. The pangs of the lost no human can tell. Not one moment's ease, there's no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know, for God and His Word have told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers, swears, haters of God, Christ rejectors, while here on earth trod, murderers, gamblers, drunkards, liars, will have their part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel, the mean, what a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than humans on earth can tell, those torments and woes of eternal hell. Read you another verse out of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 21. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have the part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But I don't want to leave you with a place called hell, the certainty of it, characteristics of it, the crowd that's going there. But I want to leave you with this thought. Thank God there's a Christ that saves from hell. Thank God there's a Christ that saves from hell. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be lost. You can be saved. You can be saved and know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I say hallelujah. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad there's a way? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once in the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Hebrews 10:17, He said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I say praise God. God forgets them all when we get saved. And the devil says, you ought to go to hell. God says, no, Jesus paid the price. He's already paid for it. He don't have to go to hell. He don't have to be condemned. He's not condemned. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I say to you today, hell is a real place. It is. And it's a place of torments. It is. And there's an awful crowd going there. Think about it. Being in a place where murderers and whoremongers and cursers and liars and filthiness and all that. All that is in hell. But thank God I don't have to go to hell. But I'd like to see others miss hell. I'd like to see others come to know Christ and not have to go to hell. Preacher, does it bother you that people go to hell? It bothers me. It bothers me that people won't hear, won't pay any attention, and go to hell. There's multitudes in hell right now that would give 10,000 worlds like this to sit where you sit and hear what you've heard, and hear Jesus saves, and come to know Christ. Brother Johnson wrote this, Hell's Highway. There's this highway that's broad and wide. It's one on which many to eternity ride. At the end of the way is a terrible place where lost sinners go, if not saved by grace. There they'll be cast and forever there they're burned. This is where they do, they whom Jesus burned. Upon the road to hell stands a rugged cross. There Christ the Lord for man suffered loss. And in those who come to Him and humbly bow, they're upon the one heading to heaven now. For He died on a hill named Calvary one day here is the only exit off of Hale's Highway. It's the only exit there is. You're on the road now. Broadway leads to hell if you're not saved. But the exit says the cross of Calvary, you can come. Jesus says, come. Come unto me. He'll save you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed in the house. The pianist is looking at a song book, maybe getting a song ready, and the song leader may be looking at something, getting it ready, but they're not looking at the crowd. But I'd like to ask you a question. I'm not trying to embarrass you, and I'm not going to come to you. But if you had to die right now, right this moment of time, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? If you do, would you lift your hand high for the glory of God? I know it, preacher. I know it. Thank you so much. Not everybody raised your hand. And I couldn't look at everybody individually. A crowd like this, you can't do that. But I saw many, many hands go up, and I say hallelujah for every one of them. But if you could not raise your hand, you could not respond like that, you realize today that you're lost without God. You realize that fact that you're not saved. Would you slip your hand up and just for that say, pray for me? That won't save you. It won't make you right with God. But it'd certainly be a step in the right direction. Anybody be willing to raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher? Anyone in this house? Father, you know the hearts. I've tried to deliver my heart. Now, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. You have your way in this invitation. We'll thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.